Thanks for joining Impact Boom. On this episode...
You don't just overcome some of the life challenges that we face in a minute. It's a journey and you have to accomplish it every day. You will probably have to work on it on a daily basis. You set your daily goals, you achieve them, you achieve your weekly goals through your daily goals, and you achieve your monthly goals through your daily and weekly goals.
Welcome to impactboom.org. We search the globe to find the people, stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you create maximum positive impact. Each week, Impact Boom brings you thought-provoking interviews with world-leading practitioners passionate about creating positive social change. These designers, social entrepreneurs, educators, innovators, thinkers, and doers share their projects, initiatives, thoughts, and insights on creating a better world. You can find all the stories, links, and other great content at impactboom.org. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter for the latest updates, or subscribe to the newsletter or on iTunes.
Thanks for listening to episode 475 of Impact Boom. My name's Sarah, and I'm passionate about sharing the work of positive, creative, regenerative, heart and soul-led initiatives that are happening across the planet. And today, we're speaking with Sunil Gamide. Dr. Sunil is an African award-winning strategic youth life and career coach, passionate about youth skills development, education, and academic success, and he's successfully coached thousands of people. He holds numerous degrees, including two PhDs. He's written several books, created online courses, and provides powerful pathways to choosing careers, finishing your qualifications in record time, finding employment, and being effective in the workplace. His programs and initiatives continue to successfully touch many young people in many African countries, and he's effectively contributed to media platforms reaching over 1 million people since 2014. He's worked in research, supervision, and teaching in university and is a full-time lecturer and researcher at the University of Johannesburg. On today's podcast, we'll discuss Sunil's insights as a highly accomplished leader in effectively empowering young people across Africa and how his personal experiences inspired him to do the work he does today. Sunil, it's amazing to have you here today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for having me. It's a pleasure.
To start off, could you please share about your background, which I know is very extensive, and what's led you to do both the work of personal development and academia simultaneously?
Oh, Sanele, who is Dr. Sanele Gamede, is a strategic youth life and a career coach from South Africa. I live in Johannesburg in Gauteng. They call it the province Gauteng. I'm a young, passionate scholar and someone who does personal development and training. I feel like there is a need for personal development, especially that I focus on young people. I think they are the future. So I must say it comes from a little bit of my past. I didn't really get someone to guide me. I didn't have someone to sort of like mentor me. Of course, I did have a number of people that showed the way somewhere, somehow, but I didn't have someone to be there as a mentor, to be there as a coach. I've never attended a coaching session of some sort. So I thought many young people, especially in our country, need someone they can look up to, someone they can trust, someone they can build a relationship with. So that's where I'm basically coming from. I'm an author. We have written 5 books, and I'm a public speaker, mainly around issues of education, issues of success in education, issues of personal development, setting goals, and so forth. So that's basically who Sanele is in a nutshell. I'm a lecturer at the University of Johannesburg. I teach media, journalism, and communication.
Amazing. And you're an incredibly accomplished academic and professional. And it seems you really blend those two spaces, which is amazing to see. And I believe that your passion for education came through some of the struggles that you personally had?
Definitely, definitely. It came from those kind of struggles, having to finish my high school. I don't know how do you call it that side, but I finished my high school and then I had to go to grade 10. I think it's the third grade in high school. I had to go back and do it twice, and then grade 11 twice, and again grade 12, which is the last grade in high school, and do it twice. So I had some challenges. I had my fair share of challenges, but I'm so happy that I managed to overcome that. And here I am today. I have two PhDs at the age of 34.
Amazing. What are some of the things, and I'm sure there's a lot, but what were some of the key parts to your overcoming them? Was it a gradual thing? Were there certain events that unfolded? What do you attribute that to?
I think it's a process, Sarah. You don't just overcome some of the life challenges that we face in a minute. It's a journey, and you have to accomplish it every day. You will probably have to work on it on a daily basis. You set your daily goals, you achieve them, you achieve your weekly goals through your daily goals, and you achieve your monthly goals through your daily and weekly goals, and you achieve your yearly goals through your daily, monthly, weekly, monthly, and then up to a year. So I wouldn't say to someone listening, it just happened, like it, and it happened. It's a process. You have to be compatible with putting the work as well, recognizing that you have to push through, work hard, and put the hours and so forth. It didn't happen like magic. You have to put the work.
Absolutely. The cumulative changes compound to produce amazing results. What have been some of your insights in assisting probably a way more than 20,000 people now to gain employment?
I think the key and the issue of employment, unemployment is global now. It's not only in South Africa. The key is not to look for a job, is to look for work, because many unemployed young people, particularly graduates especially, they are looking for a job. They are not looking for work, because when you're looking for a job, you are most likely to show off your qualifications. You are most likely to show off your piece of paper, which really doesn't that much matter out there. Of course, an employer would want to know whether you are qualified, and they will request that piece of paper certified by the police as an original document. But to be quite honest, it doesn't really matter out there. What matters is what can you do? So if you are looking for work, you are more or less going to come to Sarah and say, Sarah, I see that you're running a podcast, and I think I have something to offer. I have learned how to do this and this. I have done one and two and three. So you are showcasing your skills. You are showcasing your abilities. You are showcasing what you can do more than showcasing what you have studied. So the difference between looking for a job is that those people who are looking for a job, they showcase their qualifications. I have got three qualifications, and you show, I'm sure you have heard me saying I've got two PhDs at 34. So those people who are looking for a job, they normally showcase those piece of papers. But for people who are looking for work, actually, Sarah, they start working even before they get employed. An employer finds them working. For example, a social worker is already a social worker before they even graduate as a social worker. They start working. They start dealing with issues in the community. And the employer who's looking for a social worker is most likely to actually employ Sarah, who's already working with the community, who's already uplifting them, than someone who's, you know, showcasing that they have a degree in social work. That's what I can say. And of course, there are many difficulties that one has to go through, such as, you know, putting together a good CV, and mostly a targeted CV, a CV that speaks to the post that you are applying for. And of course, you need to ace your interview, which I normally say every employer is looking for four things. It's looking for three things, actually. Someone who can add value, someone who can make money, and someone who can do things different, who can improve the operation in any organization. So, of course, you need to have all of that. But the most important thing, the mindset has to shift from a piece of paper into what is it that I have? What is it that I can do? What is it that I can offer company A or company B? That would be my advice in a nutshell.
Absolutely. The initiative element to that is just crucial. And putting your money where your mouth in it is and showing up and applying your skills proactively and seeking opportunities in a place-based way. You're a high performer, Sunil. I'm curious, as a high performer, what are some of the things that you do? And you've mentioned a few of them. And also, what are some of the things that you don't do to take your life to the level that it's at now?
What an interesting question. Some of the things that I do, I was actually talking to my secretary for my organization yesterday at night. I think it was around 10:30. I was talking about time management. So one of the things that I do, I'm big when it comes to time management. I'm big when it comes to consistency. I'm not someone who lacks commitment. I'm big when it comes to commitment. So for one to be a high performer, I think you need to master these few things. Your time is very important. The issue of commitment, it's very important as well. And you need to be consistent in what you are doing. Do it over and over and over up until it is within your system. And of course, there are things that I don't do. And this has been my policy. I don't engage, and I don't want to be part of some thing or anything that has no control and assessment. Two words that govern what I do on a daily basis: assessment and control. What is it that we are doing? Why we are doing it? Where are we doing it? How are we doing it? And after we have done it, how are we going to measure what we have done and the impact and the results that we wanted to achieve? So those are the two words that govern me, is assessment and control. What are we doing, and how do we know we have done it? So if you can't pitch to me clearly those two words, I'm not going to be part of it. So I think for high performers, if you want to be a high performer, you need to be governed by those words. You need to know what you are doing, why you're doing it, with who you are doing it, where you're doing it. And the most important part that many people forget, especially our South African government, forget to go back and say, we said we are going to do X, Y, and Z. Have we done it? And how have we done it? What are the measurables? What is it that we said we will measure our success? Have we reached our success? What is it that we can do if we have it? And what is it that we can do more after we have achieved those results? So I think those are the key for me.
Learning from reflection. So powerful.
Yeah.
What advice would you have to anyone listening who might be challenged with self-motivating and they understand some of these things conceptually, but they need a helping hand to get them out of whatever space they're in today? Like, what are some of the key suggestions that you would offer to them?
I think you are touching something very important, because sometimes we want to buy a house, we want to buy a car, we want to get a job, but we want to start a business, but the motivation to do it, sometimes it lacks. And some people are going through a lot. I must admit, Sarah, that so many people are going through a lot. And some of them, even if, you know, you present an opportunity to them, they might struggle because of whatever that they are going through a lot. But I think self-awareness is very important. What is the space that you are in right now? Where are you right now? Maybe mentally, psychologically, physically, financially. What is the space that you find yourself in right now? What is the situation around you and your family, your kids? that self-awareness will actually result in you reaching out. If you have to reach out to Sarah and say, "Hi, Sarah, I have seen you doing this. Can you please help me how you do it? Show me how you did it." So by that self-awareness, you are able to even see your potential. You can see where you're good at. You can see even some of the challenges that you are going to face even before you face them, because you are self-aware. And many people, they got hit, Sarah, because they were not aware, not necessarily because it was going to happen. They were not aware. And I normally talk to young people. Remember, I'm a youth life coach. So I normally talk to young people, and you talk to a pregnant young person, and when you ask, "How did you get here?" You can see from the answers that this person was not self-aware. They were just cruising, and they thought life is just going to flow. Whereas life isn't like that, especially for you. Life is tailored individually. What worked for Sarah is not probably going to work.
Finding your own path through that with awareness and with acceptance of what is, so you can choose what can be, yeah. And finding those expander networks, people, impressions to chart your own course. Absolutely. So, Neil, what are some inspiring projects or initiatives that you've come across recently that you feel are creating phenomenal change?
I'm inspired by what young people are doing out there, especially using technology, using social media, different platforms. It's quite amazing what can happen and what young people can do. And I think the exposure is very important. And I was just telling my first year students that I think you need to start looking at this social media differently, because if you are still a consumer and you are not making money out of the social media, you'll be overtaken by young people younger than your age. So I'm just quite inspired when I look at the entire globe, the entire world. I'm seeing young people emerging, which shows that young people has a potential. So which means if there is a young person listening to me, I want you to find your space, and I want you to use this technology that you are exposed to, and see how you can change your situation around you, because I think you have the potential to do it. It's a matter of stepping forward and exploring what you can do. And of course, projects that I'm currently doing and that I think I need support from anyone everywhere is the mentorship and coaching program that I recently launched through my organization. It's called Brood and Grow Mentorship and Coaching Program. So we're providing life skills to young people. And as an organization, of course, we promote access to quality education. We also raise awareness on social ills such as suicide, such as unemployment. So I'm quite looking forward to working with the young people that I have recruited, or we have recruited as a team. I put together a team in each and every province in South Africa, and there are young people who are mentors under each team in each province in the country. And under those mentors, there are mentees that are being mentored by the mentors on a monthly basis. And I'm looking forward to that space. I'm going to be reading the first report end of April, where I will hear from the report what each mentor or each province have done. So I look forward to such. But of course, I am looking forward to seminars on employability that are on the pipeline, where I will be helping young people with career development and employability, which I think it's something that one will call out and say, "I'm looking for support in running those programs," because they are financially daunting as well. So you need that financial mindset in a way.
Absolutely. And to finish off, what are some books or some resources that you would recommend?
Interesting. Two books in my shelf. I'm reading from, they are my read. I don't know if someone else will read. I mean, you probably pick a book because it speaks to your need at the moment. You don't just pick a book because someone else is reading or Sarah recommended it. And of course, I want Sarah to recommend all my books. I've got awesome books online and programs that I've created. They are all available to anyone, anywhere on my platform. But currently, personally, I'm reading books on public speaking because I just want to revive my public speaking. Who knows, you know, I'll be speaking in Australia very soon.
Why not? Yeah, absolutely.
So the exceptional speaker, how to deliver sensational speeches. And the other one is you can present with confidence, how to speak like a pro, dazzle your audience and get the results you want every time. Those are my personal read. Currently in my office, there are a lot of books that I go through for academia, but these are just my personal ones.
Fantastic. So, Neil, it's been amazing speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. It is great to talk to you and thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to connect with all your listeners, especially on social media, and look forward to hear how my resources that are there on my website has changed their lives.
Thanks for listening to Impact Boom. You'll find links to the initiatives, people, and resources mentioned in this podcast on impactboom.org. Please leave your comments below, and remember, we'll be publishing fresh inspiration and insights to help you create positive impact every week on the website, Facebook page, and Twitter.